Welcome to Real Time Podcast. This is created to uplift you, encourage you, and to help you along your journey with the Father. Sit back, relax, and let the Holy Spirit minister to you. Thank you.
Hey, what's going on, guys? My name is David Phillips. I'm from a little town called Boonville, Mississippi. And I'm 30 years old. I just want to kind of take a moment to pray before we start. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray that your spirit, God, would increase as I decrease, God, that you would increase in a mighty way, that your spirit, Lord, would knock on hearts, God, that if there's a hardened heart, that it would be softened, Lord. I pray that the anointing from you, Jesus, would break the yoke of bondage, God. I pray for the captives to be set free. Lord, it's not by might, it's not by strength, but it's by your spirit is what you say in your word, God. So I pray for that one out there listening, Lord, if they're in the deepest, darkest part of their life, God, that this would be a message of encouragement, edification, and just something that you use for your glory to bring hope to that person. So, God, I pray you search the hearts out there tonight, and, Lord, that you would just use me to be a vessel. All right, I've got something that the Lord's put on my heart, and I'm going to try to bring it into a full circle, but it starts out, this is something that the Lord showed me. I went to Mission Teens, and I'll get into that later on into my testimony, I guess, but it's something back from my childhood. It goes back to one of my first memories as a child. And the Lord showed me this whenever I think I was around 24 to 25. But it was something that I never knew about, really. So it had to have been God that showed me that it was something that I was holding on to that I needed healed from. But my first memory was me as a child being passed around at a party because some guys came in and my dad was there. There was probably 50 to 75 people in this little house. And I remember these guys coming in with masks and they kind of roughed my dad up and they took him, and I witnessed all of this. And I remember, you know, being held by this random woman, and she was just asking, you know, where's this kid's parent? And it was like when that memory came, it was like I felt that all over again. And it was like, I think from that point on, it was just a start of trauma that I carried throughout life. But I thank God, because God has went back and he's restored that. You know, it's the word tells us that he'll restore the things that the enemy has stolen. And I look back now and I believe that the enemy started at a young age for me. And so I'm going to skip forward a little bit into my life. I grew up pretty, I guess you'd say, middle class. I grew up, my grandpa, my dad was pretty much in and out of prison my whole childhood due to the lifestyle that he lived. And so it was like from a young age, I picked up this sense of I needed to figure out things on my own. And that was kind of the route and the road that I took. So I was young, trying to be a man as a boy. And I guess there was just this rush and this pursuit of trying to grow up too fast. But around 11 years old, my mom, she got a boyfriend, and my cousin and another one of my friends, he was over one night, and this is deeply, I have a burden for it because it's real for me right now in my life, and I believe someone needs to hear it. Around 12, I had a friend over, and my cousin and him were huffing gas, and so I wanted to try to get him to quit, and my cousin brought up some beer because my stepdad was alcoholic. He drank about a case a day. And so he brought up getting some beer, and I went in and I got some. And the night went forward. The next day we was in there wrestling around and we had knocked some holes in the wall. And so, make a long story short, my friend, he had to go, and my stepdad made him leave. And the next day we got a call, him and my cousin. He went to my aunt's house afterwards. Him and my cousin got caught in a, they had a shed behind the backyard, in the backyard, and it caught on fire and they couldn't get out. And by the time they did, like 70% of his body was burned up. So from that point on, it was like I went into this vicious cycle of just kind of trying to replay the decision that I made of sneaking beer out. And, you know, that I regretted it. And I just kind of blamed myself, you know, like if I wouldn't have done that, you know, maybe all of that wouldn't have happened. And I bring that up simply because, man, addiction comes in all forms. And people go to extreme lengths with addiction because they're trying to fill a void. And I'm speaking to that one out there that's listening that may be battling with addiction in itself. And addiction comes in many forms. It's not just a drug, but it's anything that you find pleasure in. It could be a soda. It could be sex. It could be music. It could be many things. But I want to speak to the deception of thinking that, you know, I'm in a ministry right now. It's called Transform Living. And it's tied along with the Transformation Ranch. It's a discipleship program. And I brought that up just because we had a guy in that was in here for 8 months. And he left on a pass and went and got air duster. And they hunted him down and they found him and got him to come back. And he left, and right after that, within 5 days or so, they ended up, he ended up dying. So this fight that we're in, it's a real thing, guys. And I've come to find out that it's only Jesus Christ. It's not anything a man can do or take credit for. It's not something a man can set you free from, but it's only by Jesus Christ that you can be set free. So I'm talking to somebody out there. You may be turning to a woman. You may be turning to a man. You may be turning to a bottle. You may, whatever it is. And in Jesus' name, I pray that you turn from that and that you turn to Him. Because none of those things are going to take away the pain or lead you further or give you purpose. So that's just a brief thing that I wanted to kind of touch up on, because I really felt that strong in my spirit that never compromise and think that your addiction is little, because the things that we compromise with that we think is not anything could be the thing that causes another compromise that we never know when God says it's enough. And I don't want this to be heavy. I just want to be real with y'all, because we're living in times to where people need genuine, real people to speak the truth, regardless of what it may sound like, what it may feel like, how heavy it is. Because if it's got to be heavy for you to be set free, the cross was heavy for Jesus Christ. So sometimes in life, we want to take that shortcut and we want to try to compromise and do things our own way. And throughout life, that's pretty much what I always did, was things my own way, and it led me down a deep and in a dark path. So at around I graduated high school, and it was like after that it was kind of like I lost purpose, and I started hanging with the wrong crowd. And it was like, around 19, I started using crystal meth. I was on Adderall growing up through school. After I graduated school, I got cut off Adderall and started using crystal meth. Within a year, I think I was using IV. And it was just like I had inherited a house from my grandpa and had what, you know, a lot of men worked their whole life to have. And slowly through my addiction, it all got took. Around 23, I ended up getting 2 felonies. And I got locked up for about 7 months. And it was there that I really started to read and pray, you know, like I wanted something different. I wanted change. I just didn't know what that looked like. And I knew that I tried everything else. I tried the drugs. I tried the money. I tried the women. And it just led me to a place of despair, to where the only place else to look was in His Word. So He put me in a place to where it was like I couldn't run from myself no more. I had to be real with myself. I had to realize that, you know, I had to do something different and out of my own understanding. And so I started reading, I started praying, and I sat in jail for 7 months, told myself, you know, this is it. I'm not going to get out. I'm not going to do the same things that I've always done. And within a week, I got out, and I caught a Grand Theft Auto charge, which was the best thing that ever happened to me in my life. And I got locked up. They revoked my bond, told me that I wasn't going anywhere until I went in front of the judge. So I started really digging deeper, praying, and just kind of beating myself up, thinking that, you know, things were going to be different, and they wasn't. So I sat for about 7 months, and I got a call, and it was over. A woman offered me an opportunity to go to rehab, and I said, sure. She said, well, that's 8 to 10 months, and I said, that's fine with me. And to be honest, y'all, I was just at a place to where it was like anything was better than jail. So I agreed, and she was like, well, it costs this and that, and I said, well, I'm broke. I don't have any money. She said, well, take care of that. And I think within a week, she had it all lined up to where I was able to get in. It was Mission Teens, and it was Kentucky. She was going to take me to Kentucky. So this woman, we cut out to Kentucky, and we stop at this little Arby's. And as we stop, we're eating, and she tells me, you know, it just so happens, it clicks. Her name registered to me, and I remember seeing a picture of her in this house that I had charges on. And it was like it dawned on me who she was. It was a woman's house who got broke into that I was sitting down eating a burger with. And so I kind of panicked and went to get up and kind of was going to run, honestly. And she said, we need to get you to Mission Teens. You got to be there in 30 minutes or else they're not going to take you. So I got in the car, and as we was going down the road, she looked at me and she said, I just want to let you know that you'll probably see me on your indictments, but I forgive you, the Lord forgives you, and you need to forgive yourself. I believe that you deserve a second chance, and that you need to take this chance, and you need to run with it. And that's exactly what I did, but it was at that moment that I really felt and believed that God was real. He became real to me. He opened my eyes to show me His forgiveness in a unique and special way. And that was probably the most beautiful moment of my whole life. And so from that point on, it was like there was no doubt that God was doing something. I just still didn't know what. So I went to Mission Teens. I stayed for like 14 months, excuse me. But I still wasn't surrendered. I just wasn't surrendered. Like there were things that I was still holding on to. So I come back home and I try to make this, you know, short to the point. But I come back home, thought I was done again. And I wasn't. I got back in a relationship that I wasn't supposed to be in. And it ended up causing me to relapse. So I went back to Mission Teens. I stayed to be an overseer. Made it all the way to be an overseer, and still wasn't, there was just like this place that I kept getting stuck at. So I got stuck again, and I ran because I wasn't surrendered. And I just want to thank Jesus, because now, through all of that, it brought me to the end of myself. I'm living a transformed living now. It's a transition house that's after Transformation Ranch, a discipleship program. And it's like that place that I found myself stuck at, God has elevated me and moved me through that. And I found purpose and direction. And now God's opening my eyes to show me the places where I've been stuck and why I was stuck. And it was because now I really strongly believe that there's a lot of people who need to hear this, because it's been real for me, and I believe it's a very powerful thing that God has opened my eyes to. And I hope that a lot of people out there, their eyes could be open to it. But it was because that one thing that I wasn't prepared and ready to let go of, and that was my addiction of you know, relationship with a woman, this pursuit of a relationship. And now I understand that it didn't work because I didn't have that relationship with Jesus Christ. And that relationship was hindered, and I didn't let go of that secret sin that so easily entangled me. But I thank God, glory be to Jesus, because he's helping me to strip away that fleshly desire. And the desires now are to please him. And someone around me, they read this. They said that, you know, the desires that I have may not always please God, but the desire that I have to please God pleases him. So I'm thankful that desire that he's put in my heart just to please him, even when my desires are not where they need to be at the time, he's patient and he's forgiving and he's loving, and he says, just come to me. So I think there's some people out there that he's just saying, come to me. He's knocking on your heart. He's putting you in situations. He's chasing you down, and you're steadily running. And he's just saying, come. We're living in times to where we need to come to Jesus. There's so many out there who are desperate and hurting, and they just need to come sit with the Father. And I pray for that one. Because I've been there, I know what it's like, and I can tell you that it's only by Jesus Christ that you can be set free. So I do want to speak the name of Jesus to everybody who's around me. The Bible says that if we lift up his name, that he would draw all men to him. And we're living in times to where everybody needs to be drew to the Father. But no one comes to the Father unless he's drew them. But if we lift up that name, they can be drawn. And I just thank God for the people he's placed me around. I thank God for my brother Dustin. I grew up with him. And just to have an opportunity to be able to sit down with him and lift up the name of Jesus for the one that's out there that's lost and burdened and weighed down, because the devil is somebody that we can't defeat on our own. But we can when we hit our knees, when we surrender. When we say it's not by strength, but it's by the Spirit of the living God. And the living God, he's powerful. He's fighting for you. He's not against you. He's with you. He knows your deepest, darkest thoughts. And he says, just come. The Lord's looking for a hunger, and he's looking for a thirst for his righteousness. And if you do that, he promises to fill you. Look, the Lord is wanting to use you in a mighty way, but you can't be used if you're full of yourself. And now the biggest thing that God is showing me is that throughout life I've always been full of myself. But it was at the moment whenever I give up, whenever I surrendered, and I gave it all to Jesus Christ, and I was empty, and I was just desperate for whatever it took, whatever I had to let go of, whoever He put in my life that I needed to listen to, because the hardest thing for me to do was to surrender and listen to somebody else. And if you're always speaking and you can't listen, the Bible says be slow to speak, quick to listen. Hold up. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. I might have butchered that. I'm sorry, y'all. Through it all, though, honestly, it was because, you know, I never felt that love growing up. And there may be somebody who battles with not feeling love, and I battled with rejection for a long time, but God loves you. He's got a purpose for you. And perfect love casts out all fear, because he who fears is not perfected in God's love. Because God, I'm just speaking that into somebody's life. If he's knocking on your heart tonight, if you feel this urge in your stomach and this tug, Jesus Christ is pursuing you. He's knocking on your heart, and he's giving you an invitation. I heard a brother of mine, Chris Payne, give this message a while back, and it was about a season of invitation, and that set good with my spirit. And I believe that we're in a season as a nation that God is inviting all to come to him, because he's coming to get a perfect bride. He's not coming to get a partial, part-time lover. He's coming for those who fully have surrendered and submitted to his will. In order to be in right standing with God, we must stay in God's will. And each one has a will that God has purposely planned out. He's predestined. He's sovereign. Everything has to go through him. And by his hand, things are moved. He is the perfect author and the finisher of our faith. And one thing I've learned in this walk, Paul says this in Philippians. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of a high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And I think there's some mighty soldiers that God is calling. He's saying, if you just come to me, I've got the prize of that high calling. So for those who are in Christ, our job is to submit and to surrender. The sooner that we submit to God and we resist the devil, the quicker that he flees. One of our biggest weapons is submission. And one thing I've learned as a man, I can't speak for the women that are listening, but I can speak to the men out there, that the hardest thing and the struggle sometimes is to be submissive. But you have a good father who's just saying, submit to me, and the devil will flee. We can't fight this fight without Jesus Christ. We have to abide. That's how we remain. In him we move, we have our being. Without him, we bear no fruit. This world needs fruit to eat. The power of life and death are in the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. So the things that we speak into people's life, they will eat from it, and so will we. But we have a good shepherd that's good. He's compassionate. He's kind. He's merciful. He's forgiving, and he's loving. That's who he is. That's his nature. I've been around a lot of people in my life who were trying to be this, and they were trying to be that. And at one time, I was that guy. I was trying to be something that I wasn't. But I can tell you that Jesus Christ is not trying to be something. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through him. So I pray in Jesus' name that every seed that has been sown tonight through this podcast, through the other people that's been on this podcast, God, I pray that these seeds, Lord, that it would produce righteousness, God, because it's not what we do. It's you, God, that gives the increase. You say one waters, one sows, but it's you that gives the increase, God. So I pray in Jesus' name, through the Spirit of God, that the seeds would get to the fertile soil. And God, that you would protect those seeds and keep our focus and our eyes fixed on you, Jesus, to where the cares of the world don't snatch them. The birds don't snatch them. The cares of the world don't choke them out. The thorns don't choke them out. But they would fall on good ground. God, I pray for good ground for the ones who are receiving through this podcast. Thank y'all for letting me share. God loves y'all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you again for listening. If you would like prayer or special prayer or anything like that, we've created an email address that you can reach out to us at. It's realtimepodcast2024@gmail.com. We just want to make sure that all your needs are met.